last Sunday of the month, October 29. I was really thinking of doing a 25-page message this morning, but I thought better of it, and the Lord didn't give me 25 pages, so it's going to be actually a little short. It's only five. Yeah, five. Yeah. Well, you guys can stay if I leave and just let go. God speaks to us. That's where we're going today. There was a man from Leeds, England, and he went to his doctor because he was having trouble hearing. He wanted to have his hearing checked. So after the doctor removed his one hearing aid that he had, his hearing immediately improved. Yeah, he was wearing a hearing aid in the wrong ear. So it wasn't helping the deaf ear. You know, the reason I bring that up is because there's a big difference between listening and really hearing. How many people listen, but they don't hear what's being said? And Jesus, how many times in the Bible has he said, "He who has ears, let him hear"? That suggests to me that it takes more than the physical ear to hear the Word of God. It requires a receptive heart. So today, if you will listen with your heart, you will hear God. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews. Hebrews. You know, a lot of people avoid the book of Hebrews. They avoid it. And by avoiding it, they rob themselves of practical spiritual help that's there. Some avoid it because they were afraid of it. Yep. The warnings that are in Hebrews make them uneasy. Others avoid it because they think, "Oh, that's too difficult a book for me. I'm just an average Bible student." And yeah, those of you that have read the book, there are some very profound truths in Hebrews. But the general message of the book is clear. And we should be able to understand it, and we will profit from it. When I go swimming in the ocean, which isn't very much, sometimes even in my pool I do this, but I found it good practice to start out slow. You know, just go in up to the ankles, stand there a little bit, let that acclimate the ankles, and then you go up to the knees, and you wait there another 5-10 minutes or so, and then you go up to the waist, and that's where it really gets tough, and you got to splash, I do anyway, splash some of that water on my arms and get that chest, and ooh, and finally take the plunge. That's how we're going to approach Hebrews. We're going to approach slowly, only up to the ankles first. And then we're going to get used to that. And then we're going to go a little bit further. And we're going to get a little more. And then we're going to go a little bit more and get some more there. So bear with me here. And I was getting to Hebrews. I had to go through the rest of the book here, thumb my way through. And you know what I noticed? After the book of Acts, now we know Dr. Luke wrote Acts. After the book of Acts, there are 13 18 books in a row, one after the other. And when you read the title, it says the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Romans, to Ephesians, to Corinthians. And now we come to Hebrews. And then the left side of my Bible, it says the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Philemon. But on the right side, it says the Epistle to the Hebrews. All right. Who wrote Hebrews? That is incorrect. And I say that because there's a boatload of people that have been nominated to have written Hebrews. Luke. Some think Dr. Luke wrote it. Some think Clement of Rome wrote it. And some think Paul wrote it. Some think Barnabas wrote it or Apollos. Those are the ones with the most votes. Nobody knows who really penned Hebrews. And it doesn't matter. Because truly, God's the author of Hebrews. Actually, the entire Bible is the autobiography of God. All the way from Genesis to Revelation. He wrote the whole book. And when a person writes an autobiography, they don't have to prove who they are. They don't have to prove their existence. They just write their autobiography. So God also felt there's no need for me to say anything about it. I thought that interesting. Because when Moses asked God, he says, what's your name? Who should I tell them you are? What's your name? And what is his answer? His answer was, I am who I am. Just tell them I am sent you. And so that's good enough for me. I am, wrote the book of Hebrews. So there we are. Chapter 1, verse 1, and maybe 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. We have a revelation already in those first two verses from God to us. And the first revelation is that God has spoken to man. And that's significant. And we're going to talk about that because it suggests the divine interest of Almighty God in his human creations. We know he loves us, but he has an interest in us, and so he speaks to us. It also teaches us that human mankind is capable of receiving communications from God's infinite mind. I mean, that itself is mind-boggling. And do you realize what it implies? It implies that we can understand. We can appreciate. We can share the thoughts of God. That's so awesome that our attitude every single second towards communication with God should be attention. I mean, devout attention. I got to pay attention here. I got to turn my hearing aid up because this is important. God's talking. another one of the first truths that was said in those first two verses is God spoke to man through man. It says through the prophets. So I'm going to say, if God has spoken to any of you, you are under obligation to share it with the body of Christ. You don't have a choice. And this is why I say that. Ezekiel 33. Bear with me. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming on the land and he blows the trumpet and warns the people, whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood is on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He did not take warning. His blood's on himself. But he who takes the warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, the people are not warned. And the sword comes and takes any person from among them. He is taken away at his iniquity, but his blood I require at the watchman's hand. And then he points the finger. So you, son of man, I made you a watchman. Therefore you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them for me. Now, quite often we share when we have a revelation, a speaking, a hearing from God, and that's good because it edifies the church. But you're under obligation to do that. That scripture applies to every one of us. If we hear from the Lord, we do not get to choose whether we should share it or not. Yeah, we think that may offend one of my brothers because he'll think it applies to him. Maybe it's meant for him. Maybe it's meant for her. Every single one of us at one time or another are that watchman on the wall because the shift keeps changing. The watchman can't stay on with the shift for his whole life. So he pulls his shift, next one comes up. So maybe one day it's you or you or you. And if we don't share God's voice to us with the body of Christ, and someone suffers, then that's on our head. Says the Lord, not me. Says the Lord. That was one truth that was brought out in that short little couple verses there. But there's another one. God's revelation to man was gradual. It was slow. That's why we're going slowly through this thing. It was given by piecemeal. Kind of like he did to Abraham. When he was given Abraham guidance, he didn't tell him everything. He says, pack up your stuff and get out of your father's land and start going. I'll show you where you go. Later, I'll show you where to go. So it's piecemeal. It's in fragments. And according to scripture here, it's by various people. Not just one person. There was not only one prophet. There were many prophets. And they were all in different ages. Wow. His first communication with man was in Genesis. And it was personal, was it not? Genesis 3. Adam, where are you? I mean, he's talking directly to Adam. It was one-on-one. And then it changed to the use of prophets. And the revelations to Moses, and we thought those were huge. I mean, those were like the light of the full moon out there. You guys see the full moon out there lately? Big. It was bright. And it was full. And those that were made to the succeeding prophets, kind of like the dawning of the day, and the moon starts growing paler and thin and dim because it's getting bright out with the light. Well, that's God's revelation. Is like the radiance of the sun at noontime. You don't see the moon so much. And in this gradual revelation, we begin in pieces to see the character of God. And it's very gradual, this unfolding nature of God revealed to us, mankind. And God took the amount of the force of the revelation and he adapted it to the measure of human capacity. He had to tone it down. I picture that when I see Jay kind of sparring with his boys. And I know he's holding a lot back there. Think of what God had to hold back when he was talking to us and still talks to us, so he doesn't just explode our mind up because it can't handle it. And he did it in different ways. He did it with the Urim and the Thummim. You all know what those were. Okay. He did it by dreams and visions. Jacob saw the ladder and the angels up and down. He did it by directing thoughts to the inner mind. Wow. See, he's not limited to modes of access. He can call on any one of us into his active service, even at your young age, Timothy, or yours. And he can impress us inwardly with deep convictions that fully align with his will. And Scripture says that these revelations were given through different men over different ages. And yet, as we know, if you've read this book from cover to cover, every single thing that was said was in perfect alignment, and there's no contradictions. Only God can do that. Okay, all that being said, we can conclude. See, I'm already over. We can conclude that although the voices were many over a lot of time, the speaker was one. And now, in these last days, God speaks to us. Verse 2. By his Son. Jesus Christ now is the full revelation of God himself. Because he being pure light. And we know the Son is perfectly acquainted with the Father. And he is able to declare the Father's will. And like a family on earth, the Son resembles the Father. And Jesus stood there and says, Philip, you see me, you see the Father. Divine revelations of this redemptive truth is all accumulated in Jesus Christ. No additional revelations are going to be given. We have it all right here. But to the devout, to the patient, to the earnest seeker and believer, brighter light and new revelations will come out of the ones that are already given. because you will understand more. It comes to us slowly as we pray for understanding. And that's why Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Why? Why should we listen? Matthew, Mark, and Luke all quote Jesus in this. He who has ears, let him hear. It must be important. If God has spoken, it means he has something to teach us. We have to distinguish between human interpretation of truth and truth itself. And so what is truth? Everything God said. That's truth. So if God has spoken, his word must be our ultimate authority. And that's what we obey. Keep in mind now, no other voice after Jesus. Jesus Christ is his last appeal to the whole world. Think about God speaking. Because that's an inspiring thought. At any moment, a voice may come to the heart of man out of the infinite depths of God's mind. And it's not heard by any outward ear, and yet it's still so strongly evident that it's not imagined. It's not something that rose from human earthly level. We know this is the voice of God. And when we listen with the heart, there are things that he says that dare not come audible. And at that very instant, we know the voice of God, and it comes from above. That's ankle deep, folks, so we're going to get into it next week. We will end with all of our hearts looking up and saying, speak, Lord, your servant hears. I'm only going to tease you that far. Lord, we want so much more, but we know that you can't give it to us all in one shot. It will just destroy our minds. And so feed us daily as we dig into your word with these new revelations that are already written, but they're not understood. And so we pray for that understanding. We pray for that earnest desire to know you and to love you and to follow you, that you are our only King. There is no one but you in our life. And we give all to you. And help us to know you more. And so speak to each one of us this week as we wade from the ankles to the knees. In Jesus' name we come. Amen.
Tease.